Our message this morning comes from two different scriptures. The first one from Acts chapter 11, verses 1 through 18. And then we'll scoot over to John 13, verses 34 through 35. Hear God's word. The news traveled fast, and in no time the leaders and friends back in Jerusalem heard about it. Heard that the non-Jewish outsiders were now in. When Peter got back to Jerusalem, some of his old associates, concerned about circumcision, called him on the carpet. "What do you think you're doing rubbing shoulders with that crowd, eating what is prohibited, and ruining our good name?" So Peter, starting from the beginning, laid it out for them step by step. "Recently," he said, "I was in the town of Joppa praying. I fell into a trance, and I saw a vision, something like a huge blanket lowered by ropes at its four corners, came down out of heaven and settled on the ground in front of me. And milling around on the blanket were farm animals, wild animals, reptiles, birds, you name it, it was there. And fascinated, I took it all in. And then I heard a voice, 'Go to it, Peter, kill and eat.' And I said, 'Oh no, master, I've never so much as tasted food that wasn't kosher.' And the voice spoke again, 'If God says it's okay, it's okay.' Well, this happened three times. And then the blanket was pulled back up to the sky. Well, just then, three men showed up at the house where I was staying, sent from Caesarea to get me. The Spirit told me, 'Go with them, no questions asked.' So I went with them, I and six friends, to the man who'd sent for me. And he told us how he had seen an angel right in his own house, real as his next door neighbor, saying, 'Send to Joppa and get Simon, the one they call Peter. He'll tell you something that will save your life. In fact, you and everyone you care for.' So I started in, talking. Before I'd spoken half a dozen sentences, the Holy Spirit fell out on them just as he did on the first time, on us. And I remember Jesus' words, 'John baptized with water. You will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' So I ask you, if God gave the same exact gift to them as to us when we believed in the Master Jesus Christ, how could I object to God?" And hearing it all laid out like that, they quieted down. And then as it sank in, they started praising God. "It's really happened. God has broken through to the other nations and opened them up to life." And then as we continue in John, "Let me give you a new command. Love one another. In the same way I loved you, love one another. This is how everyone will recognize that you are my disciples, when they see the love you have for each other." May God give us understanding, and let's take just a moment of silent prayer. Amen. Why is love so tough? Can you think right now of someone that you find really, really difficult to love? If you think about it, you can probably think of more than one someone. It may be someone in the neighborhood. It might be a relative. It might be someone at work. It might even be in this church. There are always people in our lives that are difficult to love. And some of them even difficult to like. And we really struggle with that. This morning's passage talks about a transition, a time of great change. There had been the chosen people who followed, and who were really stuck on doing the right thing. It was all about following the rules, and that's what they concentrated on. But the thing is that even as they followed those rules, it wasn't necessarily done in a loving way. In other words, they didn't follow those rules for the good of other people. They tended to follow the rules for their own good, their own welfare. Everything was about themselves for the most part. And that was why it was so critical for Jesus to come. And the one big thing that throughout his life that he tried to convey was it's not about the rules, it's about the love. It's not about following every little detail verbatim to somehow save yourself by following these details. It's about living your life in a way that you are caring towards other people. And that is huge. Think again about something else. Think about the different gifts that you've gotten in your lifetime. There may be all kinds of things. It's amazing how many of the gifts that we're given for different occasions that we enjoy, but we forget. Can you even remember all the gifts you received last Christmas? Can you remember all the gifts you received 2 years ago? 3 years ago? Probably most of us have forgotten them. But the ones that stick in our minds so often will be something that is given clearly in love. For example, those of you who are parents and grandparents, and the Cranes have this to look forward to. When your child gives you one of their drawings, something, a picture, or a friend even. I remember babysitting, and some of the kids would make me these pictures. Now, by the standards of the world, they were not the most fabulous pictures, but they, to me, were the most beautiful things in the world because they had been drawn with love, and they were shared with love. And it's amazing how love can transform anything and everything. And why is that important for us to know? It's important because each of us struggle with feeling at times like we're not loved or we're not lovable. And when we are in those times of feeling unlovable or unloved, that plays out in how we treat other people. The scripture talks about how we love because God first loved us. And you see, that's the thing. If you have never been loved before, it's very hard to know what love is. How can you share something that you've never seen, that you've never known? And many of the people that we find difficult to love are people who have not known love in their own lives. We see this all the time. We may not know the stories, but there are so many people out there who are wounded in ways that we can't even imagine. Maybe some of us sitting here this morning have had those experiences as well. There are so many folks who have grown up in families where love seemed conditional, where well-meaning parents have said, you know, you need to do this, you need to do this, and where they infer that their love for you is based on your doing what they tell you to do. Many of us have seen how this plays out in people's lives, how there's enormous pain. And when you get to a certain point where you feel that you've never been loved and you're unlovable, there's no greater pain. And there's no greater challenge in your own efforts to try to love. A lot of times we think that our value is based on how smart we are, how attractive we are, how wealthy we are, how popular we are. And you know what? Those things don't make you lovable. It's easier to try to love someone who's nice to you, It's easier to try to love someone who's relatively attractive or popular, who says the right things. But is that really what love is all about? I don't think so. And that's not what Jesus was talking about. What he was talking about was a love that is not based on circumstances. He was trying to encourage the disciples to show a love that was unconditional, just as Jesus' love was unconditional. And Peter was called to this in this passage. He was going out, he was being criticized because he was not following the rules. He was going out and caring for those who were considered to be second-class citizens, who were considered to be not valuable, who were considered to be rejects for all practical purposes. But he was trying to follow God's direction. And in doing so, he broke down a barrier not only for himself, but for others as well. And you see, that's what God is calling us to as well. He's calling us to be loving towards every single person that we meet. Every single person, not conditionally, but unconditionally. And knowing that the people that are the most difficult for us, the ones that make us the most uncomfortable, they're most often the ones that need the love the most. They're often the ones that need your love the most. Sometimes we have no idea how powerful that love can be. What a huge difference it can make in a life. How it can transform a person. There was a hospital chaplain who was sharing his experience in the hospital one day, and one of the nurses took him aside and she said, "You know, I usually don't do this, but there is a gentleman here who's dying of cancer. He has very little time left, and he gets no visitors at all. Do you think you could maybe just go in and have a word with him?" And so the chaplain said, "Sure." And he went in, and this man was cranky and nasty and rejecting, and within moments the minister's thinking, "Man, I can hardly wait to get out of this room. I just don't want to be with this man at all." And he was going on about how, you know, he used to be self-sufficient and he was a good husband and he was this and he was that, but there was just a bitterness that was, it just permeated everything. Maybe you've run into folks like that. And finally, you know, the chaplain, he just listened. And finally, as he was about to leave, he said, "Well, can I say a prayer with you?" And the man said, "Well, sure, if it makes you feel better. It's not going to do anything for me." And so the chaplain took his hand and he started to pray. And he said, "Lord, I pray that this gentleman feels your love like a warm blanket. Lord, I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen." And a funny thing happened. When he opened his eyes, he could see the tears coming down from that man's eyes. His eyes were closed, and he grabbed the chaplain, and he hugged him, and he said, "Yes, Lord, let me feel your love like a blanket. Yes, Lord, let me just feel your love like a warm blanket." He needed that sign of love. And he's not alone. As you look at all these folks that do different destructive things, invariably they are people who feel unloved. They can range from people like Lee Harvey Oswald, who shot President Kennedy, who, if you look at his past, had a very disturbing and troubling time of just being rejected right and left. If you look time after time after time, you find that these actions come out of pain. And you wonder what might have happened differently if there had been someone, even one person, who had taken the time to show love towards that unlovable person. How might things be different? This last week at the seminary, they had a youth forum. And one of the speakers who was there, as he was sharing, he reminded us of back in 2006, the horrible shooting in the Amish community where the gunman went in and he shot all those children. And he reminded us about the Amish community's response, which was absolutely amazing. They could have been caught up in bitterness and anger and rejection, but do you know what? They were the ones who went to the wife and the family of the shooter to comfort them. Do you know that the Amish made up half the people at the funeral for the shooter? Do you know that not only that, that they raised money afterwards to create a fund for the shooter's children so that they would be cared for in their father's absence? That's the kind of love we're talking about, folks. An amazing, unconditional love, recognizing that every single person is a child of God and loved by God. And the ones that are most unlovable are the ones that need our love the most. What's love got to do with it? Love has got everything to do with it. You have, each of you here, have the ability to change someone's life. What kind of power is that? What kind of power? God loves you with all of his heart, enough to die on a cross for you. But don't hang on to that love. Pass it on. Share it. Be a life changer. Let us pray. Almighty God, there are times we get so caught up in our own lives that we can overlook the pain of others around us. Or there are times that people get so much on our nerves, we just don't want to be anywhere near them. It's easy to think that maybe they get what they deserve because they're so difficult. But Lord, you teach us otherwise. You teach us that we are in fact called to love the unlovable. Help us, Lord, to pass on your love. In Jesus' name, amen.